sermon is for Palm Passion Sunday, 2024. As we reach the culmination of our Lenten journey here today, we see on display the brokenness that we've known is present throughout our Lenten season, but now it's at the fore. We see the rejection of God and God's covenant as the people demand for God's own Son to be crucified. The anger, bitterness on display. We see rebellion and turning back. In Isaiah today, we hear about the faithful prophet who does not turn back from God's word and who was not rebellious. And yet we see the disciples in our gospel reading doing just that. They turn back from Jesus. They deny him. We see the disciple who betrays him and has this rebellion. We hear in our second reading today that we are called to have the same mind in us that is in Christ Jesus. May you recognize the actors in our gospel reading do not have that mind. Jesus, who empties himself, humbles himself all the way to death, is willing to embrace suffering and pain for the sake of others, encounters those who are not willing to embrace suffering and pain themselves, but are quite willing to inflict it upon others. Whether this is the sham trial of the chief priests and Pharisees, as we hear today in our Gospel of Mark, or whether it's Pilate allowing this injustice of an innocent person being handed over to death to occur while releasing a murderer, or whether it's the bloodthirsty crowd who demand Christ's death and crucifixion. All of these indicate to us the ways in which our mind is not like Christ. We do have a few characters, though, who allow aspects of this mindset to break in on our gospel story. We have the woman at the beginning with the alabaster jar. She breaks it and puts this nard, this ointment, over Jesus to anoint him. And Jesus declares that this is preparing his body for burial. She is giving up herself in service to Christ. But of course, even she is ridiculed, mocked, and scorned for doing so. We hear at the end of our gospel reading today about these women who have journeyed with Jesus since Galilee, who have supported his mission and his ministry. They are gathered around the cross, and they can do nothing. They are overlooked until we hear that Jesus has died. And that's the only time that we even know that they're present at the cross. They could only watch these horrors unfold. They could only experience that darkness that we hear covered the land at noon. What a dark day this must have seemed to them, especially. This one who was their Lord, this one who they were convinced was the Messiah, was here undergoing ridicule, shame, suffering, and death on a cross. How strange this must have seemed to them just a few days ago. Heard the hosannas being shouted, who saw the palm branches being waved and laid in front of Jesus' donkey coming into Jerusalem, who had to think for sure Jesus was going to inaugurate this kingdom of God they had been waiting for in a way that would be spectacular and glorious. At this Passover meal that they would finally see not only being liberated from the bondage to the Egyptians, but the bondage to the Romans and the bondage of all that they've experienced in this world, they were expecting for Jesus to accomplish this, and yet darkness is what they see. They hear Jesus cry out. And there are those around who say, wait, let us see if Elijah will come. And perhaps they had a renewed surge of hope in that moment. Will it happen? Will Elijah come? Will someone come? Will anything happen to end this monstrosity that we are seeing, that will take Jesus down off this cross and heal him of the wounds he should have never received in the first place? But Mark is relentless in this story. And so the next thing we hear is Jesus breathed his last and died. It seems that the bitterness, hatred, and malice of humanity, that our sin has been so great, there seems to be no hope. left at this point in the story. And yet we are also invited to remember the rest of our Lenten series. The ways in which God has worked consistently in the midst of our brokenness and rejection, in the midst of our demands for death, God has consistently found ways to make new covenants, to bring about life, and to promise life for those who have gone astray. And we know that that is the case here today as well. Indeed, Jesus going to the cross is something we have heard all throughout our Lenten journey. Jesus has been well aware that this is where his life, his ministry, and his mission have been leading him. He knows that this is the time that he is the grain of wheat that goes into the earth and dies in order to bear the fruit of eternal life. He knows that when he is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself. He knows this is what is necessary to fulfill the purpose that he came for. And yet this knowledge and awareness of needing to walk this path of suffering and death is not sufficient to, once we arrive at that point where we must take the steps that will require such suffering and death. Jesus asked 3 times in the Gospel of Mark for this cup to be taken from him. I don't want to do this, Jesus is saying. I don't want to have to go through this process that will lead to suffering and death. And at the end of the day, it is not Jesus saying, but I know what this will accomplish. I know that this is what's needed to redeem humanity from the power of sin and death. Jesus doesn't say that in this prayer. What Jesus says is, thy will be done. It's your will, O God, be accomplished, not my own. What Jesus is indicating to us, I think, is that we might believe that if we have a good enough reason, a good enough purpose, a good enough awareness of why to embrace suffering, challenges, death, and pain, that we could do it. That if we understood the purpose behind it, then we could do it, make anything work. And Jesus certainly is aware of all of this, but what his reliance is upon is not on a why, not on a purpose so much as it is upon a who. This is Christ's devotion to the Father that allows him to go to the cross. And what keeps Jesus on that cross is love. Love for God, love for us. Jesus so loves these ones who have spat upon him, struck him, cursed him, sworn him, denied him, betrayed him, who have run nails through his body and lifted him up on the cross. He loves all of these so much that he remains, going to the very end. As at any moment he could have cried out to God to save him, and this would have occurred. But no. Love. The who of God and the who of us is what keeps Jesus anchored to that cross. This is a love, a grace, a mercy beyond all comprehension. This is beyond our ability to even begin to express or articulate. Not just beyond our ability to have, but beyond our ability to begin, to catch a glimpse of. But that is what is being invited of us today, is to see this display, not just of our own brokenness and sin that has put Christ on the cross, but the depths of God's grace, love, and mercy that kept Christ on the cross for us. And we know that Easter Sunday is coming, but we don't get there yet. We end at the burial. We end in the midst of our suffering and grief over watching Jesus' crucifixion. And we are left now for this week to sit within that grief. And we will do what others do who find themselves struggling with the challenges and sufferings of this world. We will do what others do, who find themselves processing the death of ones they love. We will share a meal. In this meal that we receive today, we remember that Jesus' body and blood was not just lifted up for us on the cross, but was lifted up for us in this meal that was shared before he went to the cross. It was in the night in which he was betrayed that Jesus shared this meal with the disciples. And he offered them this gift that would strengthen and nourish them through the time they would need to wait in between the suffering and death of Christ to Easter dawn. And Jesus in this meal sought to prepare them to know, I am going ahead of you. Meet me in Galilee. We will have a hard time remembering this. But this is what Christ does for us still. We sit at the foot of the cross. We still see the suffering, death, and pain oh so present in this world. We who are waiting desperately for resurrection dawn to come, we receive this meal that nourishes and strengthens us for just such a journey, for just such a waiting process. Here we have Christ coming to us again, helping us navigate the challenges that we face. And as we receive this gift that strengthens us and nourishes us, not just for the week ahead, but for our lives with him, that helps us know the love of God even when things are rough, even when the darkness seems so thick. This gift that reminds us that God's light is greater than our darkness, that God's love, grace, and mercy are greater than our hatred, our cruelty, and our brokenness. And for this gift that God shares with us, and for the who of who Jesus is for us, and this love that God reveals to us through Christ, all we can say in response is thanks be to God. Amen.